the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
The Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you, Gabby.
Happy Monday. Yes. Awesome.
The 23rd.
Yes.
Yowza.
Yep. Wow.
Right? It feels that way. It
Moving
feels
right like along.
It's, I know, it is. Well, hey, today is the feast of St. Gregory the Seventh. So let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Grant, O merciful God, that we may experience at all times the fruit produced by the Paschal observances. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, amen. And of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Gregory the Seventh, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area. We'll tell you those details in just a few moments, but we're joined with one of our favorites, Deacon Ricky Supreme. He is with St. John of the Cross in Lacombe, and it's just that time of the year again, the 2022 Holy Spirit Novena. You guys, this is so widely attended. They have not stopped, not even during COVID. They just went virtual, and it was so widely attended. So we're going to talk about this once again and how we can participate. Alan Migliorato joins us. He's the co-founder of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today, and so many other wonderful books. And today we're going to talk about keeping the First Communion joy. So he's going to tell us exactly what that means and how we can continue that. And Douglas Beaumont is the author of The Message Behind the Movie, Engaging Film Without Disengaging Faith. I think this is going to be a great topic, Damian. Mm-hmm. You know, how can we can watch movies that kind of have that, like, I don't know, have like gore or that scene that you are, cringy, but the message behind the film, you know, those are hard movies to watch, but they have a good message. So we'll talk about that with Douglas. It's going to be a good one.
You got me as the one interviewing him, and I might watch one movie every 5 years. So it's going to be a real interesting interview. So stick around for that in the meantime. Cloudy this morning. Rain will pop up eventually this afternoon. 50-50 chance today. Winds out of the east, northeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow we can expect the same thing with highs about 85, low 70. The good news about this type of weather, it keeps the temperatures down a little bit. And we could use the wet stuff. Temperatures around the area, Mandeville and Baton Rouge, it's 72 degrees right now. New Orleans, it's already 76. Bay St. Louis, 73. And home of Thibodeau, it's 72 as well. That's your temperature and your area. And those are some of the forecasts you can expect for today and tomorrow. Keep an umbrella handy is what I would recommend. Y'all were glad to see rain? Right.
Yes, I was hoping for a little more. My plants are thirsty.
Yeah,
oh, you're gonna. They won't be.
Okay, good.
By Wednesday, everything will be fine again. Yeah, they were getting droopy.
Yes, well, I have one in particular that was really wanting some.
You know, my wife keeps saying, "Go out and water the plant." It's not like she can't, but she always tells me to go do it, and I just say, you know, I try to minimize the faucet water as much as I can because there's something about. Natural rainwater so versus faucet. I don't know if it's the chemicals in it. It just doesn't do the same thing as it does. Y'all agree with me?
I do agree. Something about that Baton Rouge water.
Yeah.
What's that?
I think the Baton Rouge water is kind of hard on stuff.
Oh.
Okay. I do. Okay. That's just my personal opinion.
All right. I'm not going to argue with you. Soft water, hard water.
Yeah.
Plants like it. Okay.
But they'd rather the rain.
What's it?
They rather the
rain's
God's
a good
water.
Thing.
Yep. Amen.
There's
Don't
a
go
song
away.
About it.
We have events. Stick around.
A good Monday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me, and you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that you may not fall away. They will expel you from the synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. They will do this because they have not known either the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you. We've heard the gospel, and so now we reflect.
Jesus promised to send two witnesses. The first was the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Secondly, he will send the apostles, and then an army of disciples that they will recruit. St. Peter and the apostles boldly proclaim the testimony of these two witnesses to the Sanhedrin. We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as the leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When the Holy Spirit descended on Pentecost, the mystery of the Holy Trinity was fully revealed. And then the world entered the last days, the age of the church. Filled with the Holy Spirit, the apostles immediately began their mission of witnessing and evangelizing. It is important that we realize that the promise of the Holy Spirit was not only given to the apostles, nor to the church in some generic way. It's the Holy Spirit's individual presence in the sacraments, particularly of baptism, that casts out sin and elevates us to share in the divine nature. These graces are matured with another outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation, the sacrament of witnessing. The intimate relationship of the Holy Spirit with each Christian prompted St. Paul to write, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" We become the Blessed Trinity's living tabernacle. The Holy Spirit's presence in us always stimulates evangelizing, as was evident on Pentecost. Our incorporation into Christ by the presence of the Holy Spirit gives us the daunting mission to convert our secular world. The Holy Spirit does this in three ways. First, he guides us to love unselfishly as Christ's love, which witnesses Christ in our actions. Secondly, he gives us the will to study our faith and the courage to proclaim it. And finally, he gives us the strength to remain faithful and loving amid the persecutions that will inevitably follow. Let us say, "Come, Holy Spirit." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers. Father Chris Decker, "Come, Holy Spirit." Something to keep in mind all day today. And if you feel as though the Holy Spirit is calling you to possibly the priesthood or religious life, well, here's an opportunity for you to discern. That's right. Come June 3rd through the 5th at St. Joseph Seminary College, you have an opportunity to participate in Chosen, a discernment retreat. And it's a weekend of prayer, discernment and fellowship with diocesan priests, seminarians, and other religious communities to help you answer the call, no matter what that vocation may be. If you're interested, make sure you fill out an application ahead of time so they know that you're going to be attending. All you do is go to diobr.org/vocations, diobr.org/vocations, and that should pop up in a registration form. It doesn't matter wherever you're listening. You don't have to be from the Diocese of Baton Rouge. From all South Louisiana, Mississippi, they'll take all comers if you're interested.
That's great. This Saturday, May 28th, Jacob Zumo is having a market.
Hey.
Yeah, I think that'll be great. Our good friend Jacob Zumo, who does beautiful, sacred, and non-sacred, right? Mm-hmm. Secular
yeah.
art. Has a gallery on Interline Avenue in Baton Rouge. And from 11 until 2 p.m. this Saturday, the 28th, Jacob is having a market. There'll be art, crafts, clothes, jewelry, food trucks, and more. Lots of fun going on. I hope for good weather for Jacob. Again, that's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can, if you want more information, you can contact Haley at jzumo.com. And that's H-A-L-E-Y at jzumo.com.
Awesome. Well, the St. Jude Society at St. Mary Magdalene Church right there on West Metairie Avenue in Metairie will have its semi-annual five-day St. Jude Novena from Monday, June 6th to Friday, June 10th. It's a novena daily at 12:15 p.m. and then a mass and then novena nightly at 6:30 p.m. So you can contact Juanita Landry at juanitalandry@cox.net or you can call her at 985-212-2472. So pretty cool.
Yeah. If you've been wanting to go to a healing mass, tonight is the night. You can go to St. Agnes Church, located at 749 East Boulevard in Baton Rouge, celebrating a St. Charbel healing mass. It begins at 6:30. For information and like to know more details, call St. Agnes office at 225-383-4127, 225-383-4127.
And if you're interested in learning more about theology of the body, there'll be a presentation and discussion every Thursday night, beginning Thursday, June 2nd, and every Thursday through August 4th. So a summer session of the theology of the body. That's from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Immaculate Conception Church in Denham Springs. You can register and find out more information at imageandgift.com. And I'm sure Gabby will put that in the comment section of our Facebook Live video this morning.
Mm-hmm. And real quick, Damian, on Friday, June 3rd at 7 p.m., there's going to be a prayer vigil for life for the Post-Roe Louisiana Summit right outside of the Delta Clinic of Baton Rouge. You can join supporters as they gather across the street of Baton Rouge's local abortion facility. We will talk to Alex Sagers from Louisiana Right to Life more about this later on this week on Wake Up. So Friday, June 3rd.
That's great. Day. Yeah. You can find all this at ccradio.live under events. In the meantime, our guest, Deacon Ricky Supreme, will be with us in just a moment on Wake Up. It's 15 after.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 23rd. Today we celebrate Pope Saint Gregory VII. Three evils plagued the church in the 10th and early 11th centuries. First was simony, the buying and selling of sacred offices and things. Second, the unlawful marriage of the clergy. And third, so-called lay investiture, whereby kings and nobles controlled the appointment of church officials. In 1049, Pope Leo IX brought a young monk named Hildebrand to Rome to be his counselor. Hildebrand directed his reformer's attention to all the problems facing the church. Eventually, he became pope himself, taking the name Gregory VII. For 12 years, Gregory was a busy pope, fiercely resisting any attack on the liberty of the church. For this, he suffered and finally died in exile in 1085. 30 years later, the church won its struggle against lay investiture. The Gregorian Reform, a milestone in the history of the church, was named after this man who tried to free the papacy and the whole church from undue control by civil rulers. Gregory reasserted the unity of the church based on Christ and expressed in the successors of St. Peter. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 minutes past the hour on Wake Up. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Alicia Quibido. Our first guest is Deacon Ricky Supreme. He is with St. John of the Cross in Lacombe. And I'm sorry, but we love Deacon Ricky on
Catholic Community Radio. We are super fans. That's right.
Yes, we are.
Y'all
good
apparently
morning,
don't
Deacon
know
Ricky.
Where he grew up. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, is he a Shalmatian like
is
you?
Is he a Shalmatian?
Okay,
and he better admit it.
Jamie wouldn't get giddy unless he was, right?
That's just...
Ricky knows that we can tease each other.
Yes, good morning, Deacon Ricky.
Good morning, Gabby and everybody. And I love Catholic radio, so Catholic Community Radio is on top of my list, so thank y'all so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I look forward to getting your email every year to talk about the 2022 Holy Spirit Novena. We look back. COVID has not stopped you guys from doing this. Actually, 2020, it was virtual and it was so widely attended. And I'm so glad you guys are once again having it this year. So tell our listeners who aren't familiar about the Holy Spirit Novena over at St. John of the Cross.
Well, the Holy Spirit Novena this year begins on Friday, May 27th. There's praise and worship each night for 9 nights. At 6:30, along with confessions by Father Thomas from Sacred Heart Church. We also have the Marian Servants of the Precious Blood of Jesus praying with people, praying over people each night. And it is building up towards Pentecost. And the readings each day get you fired up because it just reminds you what we're anticipating, not only on Pentecost, but building up, beginning with the Holy Spirit Novena this Friday night. You know, yesterday in the gospel, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. And that's what happens. We are reminded that Jesus has left us his peace, the peace that only he can give. And we are reminded not to be afraid. And all that comes out in yesterday's gospel. And these 9 different priests and these 9 different music ministers that come to help us be set on fire by the Holy Spirit bring us great peace, great hope, great joy, and that is the theme this year. The disciples, and this comes from the Acts of the Apostles, the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit, and they had every reason not to be filled with joy because you think the world is chaotic now. It was very chaotic for them in the beginning, and still they were filled with joy because of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, well, you're starting off Friday, May 27th with Father Sidney Speaks, and Jamie DeLiberto, could you get any better?
Well, there's a tragedy. Father Sidney Speaks is a 2-year-old great-nephew died in an accident in Houston. He will not be there for opening night. Opening night is going to be Father Herb Kiff from Mata Della Rosa. But Jamie DeLiberto and Tongues of Fire will be with Father Herb Kiff. Father Sidney did not want to miss his night. He said, when I get back from this funeral, I'm going to need an injection of the Holy Spirit. So Father Herb Kiff was willing, without a hesitation, to swap nights with Father Sidney. So Father Sidney will be there Thursday, June 2nd, actually. He'll be there Thursday, June 2nd. And we need to pray for Father Sidney as he tries to present, you know, God's homily at this sad, sad funeral. Not for the young 2-year-old, but certainly for his parents and family. But anyway, it's going to be Father Herb Kiff on opening night, who is also very dynamic in his own way. And we have so many interesting things this year. On Sunday, May 29th, Deacon Dan Dashner had been part of the Holy Spirit Novena all 5 years. This year, he comes as the celebrant, as Father Dan Dashner. He got a calling to become a priest 3 years ago, and this will be the first opportunity he can serve as the main celebrant and homilist. So that is incredible.
That's awesome.
Monday on Memorial Day, Father Gary Copping is going to tell his real-life story of family and faith, how he had a late in life vocation as well after his wife passed away. But also that night, besides that incredible story, there's a very popular band up and down the Gulf Coast called Witness. The leader of that band, Missy Spinoza, had asked me a few months ago, could I possibly be part of the Holy Spirit Novena? God has been asking me to do more spiritual things. So Missy, along with 2 wonderful young ladies, the St. Cyr sisters, will be presenting the praise and worship and singing throughout Mass that night. That's incredible. I can't wait to see what's going to happen, how the Holy Spirit's going to use Missy and the St. Cyr sisters that night to lead us closer to the Holy Spirit and closer to God. Tuesday with the Archbishop, I'm always excited to have the Archbishop, but I found out through a couple of channels here that 2.5 weeks ago, he was already preparing a homily for that night, which is also the Visitation of Our Lady, the Feast of the Visitation of Our Lady. He is that excited about coming to bring God's message that night to us. That's on Tuesday, May 31st. June 1st, we have Father Mark Beard and the St. Helena Neapolitan Six Choir. So we're going to bring a meet again. This will be the third year that Father Mark's coming, the second year his choir is coming with them. But an incredible church in the meet, Louisiana, will be right here in Lacombe, much shorter drive than going to a meet. For anybody who's been hearing about Father Mark Beard, that's the night to come. We'll cut your drive in half at least. That Thursday will be now Father Sidney Speaks. And then Friday, Father Anthony Odron is coming with his 30 to 40 person healing team. That's the healing mass. That's the most attended mass. And if you have something to be prayed over for, besides having the Marian servants each night, this is a huge example of the power, the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And that night we have a great group of music ministers, Schneido, St. Cyr, Bauer, and Brewer, who have incredible endurance. They'll be singing for 2 to 3 to 4 hours, depending on how many people come and are prayed over after Mass that night. And then we finish up with our pastor, Father Tuan Pham, who is so nice to let us continue doing this, and our great choir at St. John of the Cross. It's just going to be an incredible, you know, incredible week of preparing, you know, for Pentecost all over again.
That's amazing. Okay, so there's praise and worship and confession at 6:30 p.m. and then Mass at 7. Does it start at 6:30, or when does everything kind of begin?
Some of the music ministers may start at 6:15, but no later than 6:30. So to get into the real spirit of it all, pardon the pun, I guess, get there for 6:30. The praise and worship groups that God sends us off the charts. I mean, you know, we got Colin McIver with Father Gill, our former pastor, who had the courage to say yes and allow us to try doing the Holy Spirit Novena at a little church like we have. It seats 300, but still, it's not like a big powerhouse church like Our Lady of the Lake, where the Holy Spirit Novena actually started 40 years ago on the North Shore. Then we got John Finch with Father Dan Dashner. You know, he's a international songwriter, singer, part of the Vigil Project. He's on Sunday night with Father Dan. We got Sacred Heart Choir with Archbishop Gregory Amon on Tuesday night. They're tremendous. They're off the charts. We got Lyndon Yuda, who seems to be everywhere singing. She is tremendous musician and singer on Thursday night. And it's amazing. Every year, I'm just totally amazed that the Holy Spirit sets his schedule up. It's just incredible, all the people who... And when you talk to everybody, reminding them it's getting closer, because most of this is booked months in advance, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. They're so excited. I mean, they're so excited to come back to the Holy Spirit Novena.
Deacon Ricky, I got a quick question. Can he just elaborate a little bit about what goes on at a healing mass for those who've never been?
So we have, it starts up with the praise and worship at 6:30, 7 o'clock, the Mass, but instead of at the end, all the fanfare, thanking everybody for coming, it gets very solemn and quiet, other than the music ministers, because that has a big part of this, because if they're singing and praising God and asking God to intercede, it does a couple of things. It gets people in the right frame of mind to go up there to be prayed over, but it also allows people to tell Father what they want to be prayed over for, and it gives them that privacy, because the music kind of drowns out what they're talking about one-on-one with Father Anthony. And his healing team has evolved over the last 3 years, where it's not just Father Anthony anymore. They've gone to Medjugorje a couple of times, and the Holy Spirit has given many of them the gift of healing and the gift of slaying people in the spirit. And so you prayed over. They got people all around you praying with you, over you, comforting you. There's people in front of the tabernacle that's praying the rosary out loud during this process. Goodness. It is phenomenal to be part of this. And if you've never experienced it before, you need to be there. And if you have experienced it before, I know you'll be there.
Yeah. Deacon Ricky, We have 30 seconds left. Where can we go to find out more about the 2022 Holy Spirit Novena?
Go to stjohnlacrosselacombe.org, and also there you'll be able to live stream it each night and also go back the next day. And if you missed it, if you can't make it in person, if you missed it, you can go back to stjohnlacrosselacombe.org, hit the Facebook icon. It'll bring you right to the Holy Spirit Novena, and you'll be able to be there either in person or in spirit.
Awesome. That's stjohnlacrosselacombe.org. Thank you so much, Deacon Ricky, for joining us. We'll actually see you again for drive time in the summer. So we'll have more details about that later on as the days move forward. Alan Migliorato joins us when we come back from the break. It's half past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Archbishop Salvatore Corleone of San Francisco is officially denying communion to U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. For nearly a decade or longer, the minority leader and then U.S. House Speaker has made a top priority her support of abortion as a professed Christian. The Archbishop wrote Friday that he had made numerous attempts to communicate with Speaker Pelosi the grave evil, the scandal to others, and the danger her actions pose to her soul. Archbishop Samuel Aquila of Denver acknowledged the San Francisco Archbishop as one who truly desires to lead others towards Christ's love, mercy, and promise of eternal salvation. This is Life News Radio. Persecution around the world has manifested itself through the centuries, but it is worse today than ever before. Aid to the Church in Need and its donors have been there to help since 1947, never abandoning the Church or her most vulnerable children. Will you stand up for your faith and accompany our brothers and sisters on their spiritual journey? Visit churchinneed.org. Churchinneed.org. In other stories, a small town between Houston and Dallas, Texas, is the 50th sanctuary city for the unborn. The town council of Norman G., Texas, voted unanimously in favor of the declaration outlawing abortions. A new video from the American Association of OBGYN's Dr. Christina Francis is dispelling a new myth. Abortion advocates are saying new laws banning abortion would also ban treatment for ectopic pregnancies. Dr. Francis tells how her treatment of ectopic pregnancy seeks to save the one life she can save, while the intent of elective abortion is simply to end a life. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning. It's 35 minutes past the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. We're glad to have you with us on this Monday morning. And it's Monday, which means our friend Alan Migliorato is joining us. Alan is the founder of Adventure Catholic Youth Leadership Training, Formation Training. He's the author of The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter and co-author of Failing Forward Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are great. It's great to visit with you this morning. You know, Alan, it seems like on social media and just in our church parish, we've seen all the pictures of the precious first communicants getting ready for their first communion or receiving Jesus for the first time. And it's such a wonderful, joyful time bringing these little souls to the table of our Lord. And there's so much joy, and you can see it. You can see it in the parents. You can see it in the children. What happens after that?
So let's talk about the aftermath is what you want to talk
right.
about, all the collateral damage.
That's right.
I had the cutest story the other day. A lady I know, her grandson got his first communion, and she came running up to me in the parking lot. I was like, oh, my gosh, please, like, stop, don't tackle me. But she came, she goes, Alan, you have to hear this. She's like, my little grandson just got his first communion. I was like, I know, I was at the Mass. She says, but when he came back to his seat, he said, Jesus is in my tummy. Jesus is in my tummy.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, what? What an adorable, what an adorable thing. Here's what happened. So after that, right now, that was Sunday. This past Sunday or two Sundays ago. So after that, you'll see these families come to church, right? And we're so excited for our kids the very first time that they receive a sacrament, right? And we end up kind of trying to, it almost ends up being the way that we treat sacraments is kind of like a kindergarten graduation. You know, we're so excited for that day to happen. And then after that, it's like, okay, great, we did it. Now we can go back to our regular life. Mm-hmm. And there's the problem, is the excitement that we see in the first time that our child receives the Eucharist, we need to absorb that energy and that spirit and carry that with us. So don't miss Mass. Mm-hmm. And every time you go, you make it just as sacred, just as special. There's a little girl I know, mm-hmm. I've known for 15 years, and every time she receives a sacrament, she cries. Every time.
Oh,
she has a tear in her eye. Every time she will stop, you know, instead of just kind of grabbing it and it's like a handoff, you know, or a, yes. like a reverse for a football team, you know. She'll stop in front of the altar, in front of the crucifix, and bow, and then take it, make the sign of the cross, and then turn. She takes her time. And we need to be like that, like slow down with these sacraments. We've got to slow down and let this absorb, because too often it becomes, well, these monumental, you know, mountaintop experiences, and then we come running off the mountain and forget that the mountain's even there. So as parents, what we can do is make it special. Make that one day, the very first time, of course, that needs to be a high mountaintop experience. But we don't have to come running down off that mountain. We can mm-hmm. carry that spirit with us. Once we start coming down slowly, and that's life, right? We can't stay mm-hmm. on top of the mountain. Just like Peter, he couldn't stay. God's like, Jesus is like, all right, you're not going to set up a tent here. You got to move. But they come down with him. They come down with him off the mountain. Mm-hmm. And we've got to remember to bring Jesus into our everyday lives. And that means taking time to really understand and respect the sanctity and the sacredness of what we're receiving. Mm-hmm. It always baffles me how when we have Eucharistic adoration, people are so reverent, but not the same reverence when we receive the Eucharist in Mass. And mm-hmm. I always wondered why. It's the same Jesus. He's still present in that Eucharist. But 60%, this is a true, this blew me away. An independent Pew study, 60% of Catholics don't believe the real presence of Christ mm-hmm. in the Eucharist. And that might be because, you know, we just don't understand it, and so we kind of shove it to the side. But 60%, 6 out of 10, think it's symbolic? I mean, that blows me away.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to take the time to understand. And I hear parents complain when they have to go to these catechism classes with their kids. They're like, I know this stuff. That's why I send my kid to Catholic school. Well, slow down there, because we're not handing off our parenting responsibilities. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is we're raising our child together as a community, a faith-filled community. So this is one of those topics I'm super passionate about. I'm sorry to talk so much.
No, I'm glad you are. You know, it's interesting. We had a pastor in our early married life before we had children who always talked about that keeping that joy and remembering, you know, just, I don't know, that reminds me when you said that, just about how sometimes we go, so many things are just part of our routine. Sunday morning, we get dressed, we go to Mass, we, you know, and how to remember that. He used to always say, make every Sunday sacred, Mass, make every Sunday sacred. But remembering the importance of that it's not just that first time, that it's every time we go on mm-hmm. Sundays or anytime we're at Mass that we are receiving, and to have that child, you know, have that heart of a child so we can experience that and have that joy every time. Kind of like, I don't know, Alan, for you, but when we were on the lockdown in the very beginning of the pandemic, the first time that we were able to go to Mass and actually receive the Eucharist was profound.
It was.
Yeah.
Like Alan
well,
mentioned,
yeah.
I mean, I teared up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, wow. I not you know, calling myself Saint Francis here, but I don't lose that sanctity. I really yes. feel mm-hmm. the presence, and it's not mm-hmm. about what I feel or what I understand. It's about helping others get to that point. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we expect them either to be there or that the ceremony will bring them there. And the Catholic Church is wonderful for the ceremonial aspect of it, because it really helps us understand the sanctity. But when we stop at the ceremony and don't get to the sacredness, mm-hmm. we're missing the point of going to Mass. Years ago, we did when I did the leadership training, we had a Mass in the woods, right? And we had a priest come out, and we set up a table on barrels with boards on top of it. And this one boy came up to me, and he said, I don't feel like that was really a Mass. I don't feel like I just received the sacrament. And I said, oh, tell me about that. Like, why do you feel like that? you know, and of course you want to scream. You're like, of course you did, but you can't do that, you know. So he says, well, you know, there was it wasn't in church, and I was like, well, yes, it wasn't in church. So do you feel that that's the only place that we can receive sacraments? And he said, well, I guess not. So it, like, we got to make them think a little bit, you know, like Jesus baptized people in a river, and so just because it doesn't happen in the baptismal font in front of, you know, wherever it happens at your parish, it doesn't mean that it's not happening. So we've got to get to why are we there, not just celebrating the ceremony.
Yes. And, you know, Alan, it took me a long time to realize that there is a mystery, right? This is a mystery. And that's okay that we can't. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear so much about Eucharistic miracles that I'm so fascinated about, because I think there's a part of all of us that wants to know, wants to truly know, like, define this for me, tell me exactly how it happens. But then to realize, you know, there's a mystery, and it's okay for us to believe in things that we don't necessarily see.
Right, but we don't stop seeking, right? We don't stop seeking. We pray for wisdom and understanding. We may never get understanding, but just give me wisdom on how to process this, Lord. Like, whatever it is that you're bringing to me right now, Lord, just make me grow closer to you because of it. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to be able, you know, to process, but just bring me closer to you, whatever it is. And that right there, in my opinion, is the key to growing in faith. Is we don't have to understand, like what you said was beautiful, Alicia. Like, we don't have to get it. We just have to, you know, be faithful. Mm-hmm. God doesn't ask us to be successful. He asks us to be faithful. That's why we have confession in the first place, right? Because he knows we're going to slip up. So we're just faithful. We're faithful. We show up. We tell him we struggle and struggle. Keep struggling. You know, I don't understand how can three be in one? You know, and I love even that kind of stuff. Like, St. Patrick brings the, you know, the clover and says, well, how? Here's three leaves on one stem. That's how, you know. And so it's those things. It's those little things that really help us understand the Lord. And even when we don't, we struggle to.
Yes. Well, and as always, as you always remind us, if we keep that joy, if our children see us modeling that for them, they too will experience that joy. It's always great to visit with you, Alan. Our time goes by so quickly. Check out Alan McVerado at AdventureCatholic.com. Stick around. Douglas Beaumont, author of The Message Behind the Movie, joins us. It's 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up.
Happy Monday morning, everyone. May 23rd. So glad you could join us here on Wake Up. Hope you're up and at it. If not, get that cup of coffee going and get you moving. Gabby Smith, Alicia Quibido, and yours truly, Damian Colano, are with you on this Monday morning. And we're trying to get a hold of Douglas Beaumont, author of the book, The Message Behind the Movie. But maybe he's still watching the end of a movie, so maybe when that's finished, we'll have time enough to get him on here. So while he is, but it is an interesting topic, and if we don't get a hold of Douglas, we're going to banter a little bit about this, because engaging in film without disengaging faith, quite often people will not go to see a movie based on what they heard or the content within the movie, and it could be anything from bad language, violence, nudity, you name it. But there's something behind the verbiage in the cinematography aspect of it. Now, as far as I said earlier in the show, I don't go to movies anymore. My wife's not a big fan of movies.
She's not a big fan of the popcorn.
Yes.
It's so expensive. You're not
$40
for popcorn.
$70-$80 a bucket of popcorn. You can pop a lot of popcorn. But look, not knocking movies, okay? Because I was a kid, even when I was in high school, I was the movie critic.
Yes. Get out.
Oh, I'm telling you.
This does not surprise.
It's different now, Damian.
Shalman High.
There you go.
And the Owl newspaper. The first movie I ever went and saw and critiqued was called The Exorcist. So that's a perfect example
of
what we're talking about. Thank you.
That is scary.
That is a good example. The first line in the article was, this movie will make your head spin.
That just sounds
was corny even back then, folks. So,
oh,
I mean, it's inherited. But with that being said, But there's some meaning behind movies, despite the language.
Yes, and maybe not all of them, but there are some good ones out there.
Yes.
And I think a good example is Father Stu. I think, you know, at first when I saw that it was rated R, I thought, why would they do this? And my good friend, the owl
movie critic,
said, "Oh, well, you should just get people there." And I get once we saw it, we did bring our children to see it. He uses a word as a descriptor that we don't ever use in our home, but our children knew going into it, and they're teenagers. It's fine. It's not like it was the first time they heard it. It's a powerful movie, and I think for that story, I think important for people to understand his drastic conversion.
Yes.
I mean, he had a very profound conversion.
Yeah, in that aspect, it worked.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I agree. And they could have added some other things that they didn't show, and I appreciated that. So I think the message of the movie was lovely, and the repeating of that word did not tarnish that at all for me.
Right. What's your take on that type of stuff, Gabby?
So I think it is today, in today's films and TV, it is almost impossible to get away from anything that you just said, you know, because that stuff is what unfortunately gets people to go see a movie. I went and saw a family movie, or what I thought was a family movie, and my 10-year-old son, and they're cursing, you know, saying little things that he thinks are curse words, you know, that we are like, oh, you know, and they're just in the movie. Mm-hmm. I don't personally like going to the movie theater because in 2 weeks it's going to be on a streaming platform that I already pay for. So that's why. But I mean, the first thing that I thought of was Passion of the Christ. Mm-hmm. I watched that when I was a kid. And my dad did give me, okay, disclaimer, it's really bloody. Mm-hmm. It's really harsh. It's really bad. Like, you know, we know the story. It's tough. There's demonic possession. There's whipping. There is blood everywhere. You know, like, it is, the way that it is described is gory, but the message behind it is powerful.
Right.
So that is the first film that I thought when I saw this was that is a good part of what we're talking about here.
As far as the violence aspect of it, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And stuff like, you know, Exorcist and stuff. That stuff terrifies me. I know it's real.
No,
but
believe
you know, like what you just said.
Well, the bed bouncing around and...
Well, and you know,
split,
I think...
split pea soup chucking. I mean, it was gross back then.
You know, we interviewed people, priests who do exorcisms. And I think it is important for us to know that is real. Those things, I mean, it might have been Hollywooded up a little bit for that movie. But I think that it is... important for us to know that the devil is there, this is something that really does happen.
Yeah, so we touched on violence, we touched on harsh language. The nudity thing, I still am old-fashioned
in the aspect of
when you go to create the love scene, you know, and they kiss, then you cut away. I can remember, you know, it was even... growing up, and it wasn't even that bad. I'm talking about television, not even movies.
Sure.
And it was like, okay,
TV's
close
so
your
now.
Eyes, and
right,
you put
right,
your
right.
hand,
yeah.
you had to put your hand over your eyes because mom and dad, all of a sudden, there was a scene coming up that they didn't want you to see.
Yes.
Some people call it the ceiling concept.
Okay.
You know, where you look up at the ceiling
and
then they tell you when to look down. So there's different ways, but as a kid growing up, what worries me. And this is the question I was going to ask Douglas, was as much as he's kind of defends it, it's like we've become numb or blunt to all this.
For sure.
And that's the disappointing part.
I think violence, for sure.
Yeah, because it's everywhere. Mm. It's on the video. What's scary in
it's
real
on video
life,
games
it's
too.
Happening on our street corners day in and day out now, like it's a darn video game.
It's true.
And we have to step up and speak out.
Absolutely.
So... anyway,
preaching. I'm with you.
Have we beat this topic up?
I think it's important to have that conversation if you're watching something with your child. Like my parents talked to me before watching. Like I keep bringing this up, The Passion of the Christ, because it was my first as a kid movie.
Right.
You know, other than you know those movies that really don't matter, like Titanic or whatever. I think that was like my first rated R movie or whatever. But like my parents sat me down and talked to me. This is what's in the movie.
Yes.
You know, just if you don't like it, then you can leave or whatever. But that one movie, you know, was profound. And I've seen, I think, four times Passion of the Christ. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even TV shows, streaming platforms, it's not just HBO and Stars right. that have those
like
scenes.
Back,
Netflix
back
is starting
day.
To get like that.
Right.
Yeah. And, you yes. know, it's just...
Well, and I think the important you know, thing to say, and I think our friend Alan would enjoy, we could have kept Alan on for this conversation,
yeah.
but I think the important thing is when you do bring your children to see, you know, like Gabby's parents sat her down about The Passion and we sat with our children before we saw Father Stu, I think it's important to have those discussions with your yeah. kids and to be open with it,
mm-hmm.
even if you're asking them, you know, to close their yeah. eyes, look at the ceiling, whatever. But
yeah, my kids are in their 30s. My wife still does that.
See, there you go.
So anyway.
You're mama forever.
You're
mama forever.
All right, folks. Well, that hopefully that gave you some insight as to yeah. what we would have talked about. Maybe you agreed or disagreed what we had to say. If you do, mm-hmm. hey, go to CC Live and give us your comments.
Yep, that's right.
We'd like to hear what you think. In the meantime, yeah. we were talking about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Holy Spirit is present with us all the time. So I thought we'd wrap up with a quick prayer to the Holy Spirit this morning. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy amen. Spirit, amen.
Amen. Renew the face
amen.
Of the
amen.
Earth.
Amen. Thank you.
Sorry.
Me too. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We're talking about the book Atonement, Soundings in Biblical, Trinitarian, and Spiritual Theology. Dr. Tom Ryan from Loyola University in New Orleans joins us to talk about Pope Francis and spirituality. And Father Ambrose Crissy talks about St. Michael's Abbey, which is one of the oldest abbeys in the United States, and how they're on the Hallow app. And they're kind of just partnering up with the Hallow app. So if you have the Hallow app, definitely tune in tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday and a great start to your work week. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.